Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Thank you so much for joining me today. Hopefully you're doing good. Amen. It's sunny outside. The birds are chirping. It's good to be here. Amen. We're diving right back into Genesis 4. And we've looked at, in the last episode, we looked at a little bit of verse 8, but honestly, we spent a lot of time on verse 7 of Genesis 4, where God is kind of reasoning with Cain. And this is out of God's mercy. You know, this is out of God's love that he would even bother to explain this to Cain. But I believe in God's perfection, he knew that one day this would be in his holy word, and it could be a fair warning for us here on earth and for all that have read his word to understand the consequences that go along with living holy and the consequences that go along with living sinful. And people may say, brother, you know, do we have to live by the law to be saved? No, we're saved by God's grace. But just because we're saved by God's grace, it shouldn't give us occasion to live sinfully. Right? And so we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And God knows who would be saved. That's the idea of election, right? He knows who would be saved. Now, I believe everyone has the opportunity to be saved, right? But he knows who will accept it. Just like he understood what Cain was going to do, but he still explained in verse 7, if thou shalt do well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, so verse 8, I'm going to read 8 through 10 here. This is kind of our focus passage for the next couple episodes. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now this would be Cain the older killing the younger. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And we are going to tackle this verse, this passage of scripture, really, right when we come back from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right. Welcome back. So here we have Cain talking with his brother, this idea of premeditation. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. When they were in the field, does this not look like something that maybe Cain would have done in the idea that maybe he wouldn't be caught, right? And you see that in the very next verse. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he asked, I know not. Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, So God asks Cain, where's Abel? And Abel's response is, I know not. So Abel commits a grievous sin right after being told from God that there are consequences for things that you do in sin. And then he lies to God, like God Almighty. Okay. So here's where I think we get the same thread that we had from Adam and Eve. And that's the thread of belief versus unbelief. Like if you truly believe God at his word, then certainly you wouldn't go into the field and try to commit a crime that maybe nobody sees and then lie to God right thereafter, thinking that somehow God would buy your lie or wouldn't bring about the consequences. That deals with unbelief. And if you want to take it a step further, this whole fight is over what? An offering. And Cain brought his offering. Abel brought his offering. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's offering was rejected. Abel believed God to the point where Abel was willing to sacrifice, give the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof, like the best that he had to God. And Cain brought fruit from the field. But that wasn't good enough. And really, if you think about it, let's say what was required was like a spotless lamb, right? A really valuable one. Not only would Cain have to go to Abel and ask for that, that's humility, right? But Cain would then have to maybe acknowledge that Abel had an important role or was even favored by God. And instead of doing that, Cain brought his own offering, which was rejected. got jealous of Abel, takes him into the field, kills him, and then lies to God about it. This is sin in action. This is why Cain killed Abel. One pleased the father, the other didn't. This is jealousy. Think of the brotherly relationship. As far as we can tell, Cain was the older brother. Cain kills Abel. The big brother is embarrassed at his rejected offering. And there's a hatred for God. Now, I don't have any siblings under me, but I had one over me. And I do believe that that's a real thing, that like the older sibling can get very jealous of the younger sibling if there's something good going on with the younger sibling. And I can't speak to that from personal knowledge, but that seems to be what's happening here, is rank unbelief, pride, and jealousy. You know, he's embarrassed at his rejected offering. He hates God. It's very, very sad to see this. Okay, so here we see in verse 9. This is the very next verse after Cain kills Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow, okay. So he lies to God, right? Let's start with this. The Lord speaks. So directly, the Lord is still speaking to Cain. This is something that is very, again, merciful and loving of God. It's being documented in his word. We know anytime God speaks, there's something very important being said. God doesn't mince words. He doesn't play word games. He doesn't say, hey, Cain, how's the weather? He says, where's your brother? And Cain lies. So God gives Cain the umpteenth time an opportunity to be repentant before him. Okay? At this time, I believe, and this is just the preacher's opinion, that if Cain had been repentant at that time, surely he had been, his heart is broken. He killed his brother. If he had been repentant before God, I believe God would have forgiven him and could have used him. Okay? Just like today, you could have a murderer in prison. If they're truly repentant, God can forgive them. God can use them. God can forget their sins. Now, they still have to stay in that jail, you know, if they've committed murder. They have to live out their consequences. But they can have a closeness with God. They can have access to the throne room directly. Matter of fact, you could have someone that's the citizen of the year, that is so nice and wonderful in society, that does good deeds every day, but relies on themselves and they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That person is headed for a devil's hell. And you could have a hated murderer who looks the part and has accepted Christ as Savior, is truly repentant for his sins, has put his faith and his trust in Jesus, and I believe God's faithful to save that individual. And we have God speaking to Cain. I believe giving him that final opportunity. And Cain, what does he do? He lies to God. Unbelievable. He lies to God. And I believe that this discussion, this dialogue is going to change real soon, that part of this punishment from God is he's not going to be talking to Cain like this anymore. And we see, just as God asked Adam and Eve in the garden where they were after sin occurred, here we see no less than a chapter later, the same thing happening with Cain, right? I mean, do I need to go back and read it? I think I will. Okay, Genesis 3, right? Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Genesis 4. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Literally the same verse, verse 9 from Genesis 3, verse 9 from Genesis 4, has God asking these questions, not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants to hammer home the sin that has occurred. It's incredible. I mean, God doesn't make mistakes. He made both verses show up on verse 9 for those that would rightly divide, for those that would study the word to see that God knows all. He is omniscient. He knows all things. Amen. It's incredible how quickly the process repeats itself. That sin occurs, that lying, hiding, and all this nonsense occurs, and that God's wrath, his punishment, comes down thereafter. You know, it's incredible that this cycle has continued to repeat itself throughout humanity. Because clearly it must be man's preference to live this way. Because God has provided a reams of text, a wealth of information in his word to say, you need to depart from this sinful living and stop playing games of unbelief. Right? Adam and Eve, did they believe God? They obviously didn't because they disobeyed, you know. If I tell my kids there's a fire outside and they walk outside and get burnt, did they believe me? No, obviously not, because they walked outside, right? It's no different. If God knows, why is he asking? He's showing Cain's response, because if he didn't ask, we wouldn't have on file here what Cain said. And what did Cain said? He said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? What a statement. Cain's response underscores his pride. It's his pride. He's saying, look, who am I? You know, am I his keeper? Right? Dude, you just killed him. And I should not say dude in preaching. Sorry. That's just to make sure you're listening. Okay. Man, you just killed this guy. You killed your brother. And now you have the audacity to say, am I my brother's keeper? See, if God hadn't asked that question, we wouldn't have seen what's in Cain's heart. Right? But we do here. God's character is selfless love. That's who God is. He commands us to love our neighbors, to prefer others to ourselves. Cain's response is callous and cold. And it, guess what? It's focused on self. It says, am I, that I word is so nasty. You know, that's the pride, right? I, there's no pride without I think that's a saying or something like it. The idea of a self-focused life is a carnal trait brought forth by Satan. We're no use to God if we are inwardly focused all the time. If we're focused on ourselves all the time, we are no use to God. God wants people to trust him, and inherently trusting God is abandoning trust in our heart and ourselves. The Bible calls the heart deceitful beyond measure. Who can know it? God calls us to trust him, even when trusting him leads us to perilous places. Abraham was justified by faith. Why? Because he abandoned his pagan family. He went to Canaan land where there was a famine. Okay? He was justified by faith because he believed God, even though when he got there, things weren't too good. Cain is probably looking at his prospects here and saying, I've got to keep up this facade, this front that I'm powerful, thinking that something good was going to happen because he obviously didn't believe God. Cain was selfish. His pride was hurt. He was a murderer. Think of what this did to his own parents. And now he's prideful in his response. I mean, you know, this is a good lesson here. When we sin, not only does it affect us, it affects others. Can you imagine being a parent of two children, one of whom is now dead and the other one killed the one that's dead? I don't think there's any punishment worse for a parent than that right there, because it's a senseless death. It's a preventable death. You've lost fellowship with one child, and the other one, how can you even stand them? Because they did it. That's why he's going to become a vagabond. Adam and Eve can't be around Cain. He murdered their younger son. It's incredible. They had kids after that. It must have taken a long time. You would think, you know, because we don't know. They lived over 900 years. We don't know exactly how long it took, but man, that's wow. And see, Cain's sin, that sin of pride, am I my brother's keeper? Let's talk about me and what I want to do and who I am, right? Instead of saying, I'm worried too, God, where is my brother? I love my brother. I prefer my brother to myself. You understand? We see great pride here, and that pride leads to separation from God. And in Cain's life, it was immediate. It was immediate. And we see here that response, that's why God asks questions. We see it with Adam and Eve. I mean, again, you know, even with the devil asking, well, what can you and can't you eat, right? That question showed that Eve knew what she could not eat, right? And so we see these questions leading to answers, proving the hearts and the minds of the people, the characters, the real true life characters in the Bible that have made decisions that are now, we are suffering from literally today, this day, amen. I've got, you can probably hear it in my voice. I've got bad asthma and allergies. Where does this deformity come from? It originally comes from sin. I don't think it was there before sin, amen. It came from sin. We live with the consequences today. Never forget that. Turn to God and tune in next time as we get deeper in this passage. Thank you so much. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.